Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
What up, Wellspring? Glad you guys are here today. We have an exciting, exciting day. We are wrapping up summer breakthrough today, and I'm going to try to get this in through this intro too late without crying. Whoo! I'm glad y'all love me. I'm really excited today because to wrap up summer breakthrough, we've got a guest with us today, and this guy is my pastor. His name's Brandon Thomas, and he is from Keystone Church. And if you've been around Wellspring a lot, you know if there had been no Keystone, there would be no Wellspring. That is where Eric and I both served. They are the church that sent us here. They're the ones who believed in us. This man sacrificed for you. Had he not believed in me, we wouldn't be here, and many of your lives wouldn't be changed. So, with that introduction, I bring to you, help me welcome to the stage, my friend, my pastor, the godfather of Wellspring Church, Brandon Thomas.
Thank you, buddy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Man, this is amazing. Look at this. Packed house. Do you not know it's summer? This is amazing. I gotta tell you, you know, I love fishing, but I would rather be here than out on a lake somewhere. And I've seen some good water here. I just gotta tell you, I've seen some good water. I'd rather be here than bringing in a double-digit bass. I'd rather be here than bringing in a double-digit bass. This is amazing. I'd rather be here than out on the golf course right now. Because honestly, do you know how good this is? Do you know? Now, if you don't talk back to me, I'll think you don't know. Do you know how good this is? I'm telling you, this is good. This is good. The reason that I'd rather be here with this amazing couple, I'm telling you, Trey and Danielle, do you know the gift that you have? Let them know the gift that you have. The reason that I'd rather be here than anywhere else, and you know, I love my church, Keystone, but this is my home away from home, right? This is my home. I feel invested in this, is because the reason that this is the place to be right now is because as much as you'll love bringing in that double-digit bass, right, it won't change your life. It won't. If you hit your best score ever on the golf course, awesome, incredible, but it won't change your life. Did you know every time we gather and sit under this great teaching, you have an opportunity for lives to be changed, for emotions that are broken to be healed, for addictions to be broken. We have an opportunity to change the world. And let me tell you something. You say change the world. Come on, man. Change the world. Yes, change your world. And if your world is changed, isn't that changing the world? So every time we gather, what a precious gift you have to know that you're in a church and you're not running out the clock. Like, you come here on a weekend and you know you're not running out the clock. Love week. Love week. You're not running out the clock. You're not running out the clock. I just like to say, this is better. And that's the title of the message today. This is better. So turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, he's right. This is better. Turn to your neighbor. This is better. It is better. It is better. So I went on social media the other day, and I just was thinking about this talk. I was thinking about this thought about this is better, and I was thinking about a place in Scripture we'll get to in just a minute, and I just went on social media, and I just threw it out there, and if you follow me on social media, maybe you plugged in. If you don't follow me on social media, I take it super personal, so, but I threw it out on social media, and I just asked the question, hey, tell me something that's just better. Like, this is just better than that. Like, it's self-evident. This is better than that. and I want to share with you what I got. Okay, first of all, Bond is better than Bourne. Anybody with me on that? James Bond is better than Jason Bourne. Okay, couple of you. iPhone is better than Android. Any iPhone haters out there? Okay, this one's self-evident. Mayo is better than Miracle Whip. Because Miracle Whip is of the devil. It is the fruit of the devil, no doubt about it. Chick-fil-A is better than all of them. Right? Jordan is better than Kobe. I had one lady write in, heels are better than flats. I had another one write in, no, flats are better than heels. I'm trying to figure out who you are. Are you a heel service or are you a flat service? Here we go. Beatles are better than the Stones. I'm breeding disunity in the church right now. What is going on? French press is better than drip. Any coffee people out there? Okay, two of you. NYC is better than LA. All right. Deep dish is better than thin crust. The book is always better than the movie. Yeah, I agree with that. Star Wars is better than Star Trek. And I got one for you. I added this one in. This is better than the YMCA. Anybody with me on that? This. Come on. It is. Like, it was great. Last time I spoke before you, I was at the YMCA, and I was stunned at the atmosphere you created. I was blown away. When I stood before you, we walked away, and we were like, man, we've got to just fill up a page full of notes. But honestly, this is amazing. What you're doing. The kids' experience is stunning. And if you're a guest here today, I hope you can sense that we're family. I know I'm kind of the guest speaker, but I'm not a guest speaker. This is family, and we're all in this together. And today I want to talk to you about sometimes things are better. And that's the title of today's message. This is better. And to understand what this has for you is not just about connecting at church is better. It's not just about attending this church is better. I want to talk about how Jesus is better. And I want to talk about how living life in Christ is better. And to do that, I want to go to a place in Scripture where they were challenged at the point of their values. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. We pick up, and it's the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, if you're new to the Bible, the Apostle Paul wrote a whole lot of our New Testament. He's a big hero in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul would go into a city, and just like Trey and Danielle, when they came to Myrtle Beach, they knew one person in Myrtle Beach. And when they came into Myrtle Beach, Paul would go into a city, and he didn't know many people. So he'd go in, he'd start making friends, just like they did. And yeah, they started at Broadway at the beach, and then you go into the YMCA, and then you go into a place like this. And the Apostle Paul was in his Broadway at the beach. Is that what it's called? Broadway at the beach, at the Broadway at the beach phase of this young church. And he'd go in and he'd start a church just like this in a city. And then his ministry was not to stay. His ministry was to raise up a pastor and then he'd go start another church. That was what he did. That was his ministry. And the Apostle Paul, where we find ourselves today, he is 15 years into his walk with Jesus. Now, 15 years into his walk with Jesus, maybe 10 years further than you are in your walk with Jesus. It may be 12 years further than you are into your walk with Jesus. Or maybe you'd say, no, I'm 15 years into my walk with Jesus. Maybe some of you, maybe a few of you, maybe even further into your walk with Jesus. But Paul has been walking with Jesus for 15 years. Christianity is 20 years old at this point. 20 years old in Acts chapter 16. So 2 decades into the New Testament church, we find the Apostle Paul walking into a city. He's preaching, he's teaching, and it caused an uproar. It caused a lot of confusion. It caused a lot of controversy. Never be afraid of shaking up your city for Christ. And it will cause controversy at times. Never be afraid of that. Never be punked by that. Don't be punked by what other people will think. about you when you're living for Jesus. The Apostle Paul was preaching and people were drawn, but the more people that are drawn, it will shake some things up and it will cause some disruption, because the larger wellspring grows, the more you take down idols in people's lives. And the more idols that are taken down in people's lives, the more the enemy gets disturbed. You never want a church where everything is always just so super smooth, because then you're really not shaking it up. When you go out and you love the city like you love the city this past week, be prepared. Be prepared for something that's going to challenge you this week, something that's going to make you grumpy. And when it happens, whether it's the car breaks down, or when it happens, or whether there's an in-law issue, when it happens, you can go back and say, you know what, wait a second, that's not unrelated. I was loving on my city this week, and now I'm feeling the pressure of being on mission in Christ at this church. So never be punked by the pressure. Never be punked by the pressure. And so the Apostle Paul was out there, and he and his friend were out there sharing Jesus, and it caused some problems. They ended up getting arrested. They ended up getting arrested. And once they were arrested, in verse 22, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they did not escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas in prison, in stocks, their backs opened up from the beating. And here they are, praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. And if I was one of those other prisoners, I'd be listening like this. I'd be going, what you talking about, Willis? Are you kidding me? Somebody help me understand what's going on here. I'm in prison, but those guys are not only in prison. Those guys got the beating of a lifetime. Those guys are in stocks. Those guys are uncomfortable. Now, the jailer was never told to put them in stocks. A little note about the jailer in this scene. The jailers in the Roman world were most often retired Roman soldiers. Retired Roman soldiers knew how to detain someone. Retired Roman soldiers knew how to keep order. Retired Roman soldiers knew how to torture. So this retired Roman soldier had taken it on himself, I don't know why, the Bible didn't tell us, but he had taken it on himself to do more than was asked of him. All they said, and we'll see in just a minute, that he did not have to put them in stocks. All they said is, hold them here. Make sure they don't get away. Put them in the prison. But he did more than that. He put them, and he was basically torturing them. He did more than was asked of him. So here they are, super uncomfortable, feeling the results of this walk. And in that moment, something very strange happened. They began to pray, but even stranger, they began to sing. Somebody help me understand this. They begin to sing. Now, if any one of us, for the cause of Christ, begins to experience pressure, begins to experience suffering, I know this church. None of us would judge you for having big questions to God. None of us would judge you. As a matter of fact, we'd walk beside you and we'd say, man, I understand that question, and let's walk together. I don't even know if I have the answer, but let's walk together. At this church, if you have big questions for God, God, why did I get cancer? God, why did my husband leave? God, I found life in Christ, but he hasn't yet. Why? 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 You got big questions for God? God's not afraid of your big questions. And any one of us would not judge someone else for struggling in their journey of faith. We would just walk beside you and love you through it. And through the walking beside you and loving you through it, you might find the answer that God has for you, but we would not judge you. But I think we'd all agree, this is unusual, that in the midst of that pressure and pain, they sang. Why did they sing? Why did they do that? Why did they pray? Why did they sing? And here it is. This is why. Because they understood that freedom in Christ is better. They understood that even though I'm bound, I'm free. Even though I'm utterly bound, I'm free. And the freedom is what came out of their mouths despite their circumstances. And that's what we're going to learn today, is how do you elevate beyond your circumstances to experience your sweet freedom in Christ? They were on the chain. Physically, they were on the chain. Spiritually, though, they were off the chain. Your life may look like you're on the chain at some point. I'm chained to a boss, man. This dude is whipping me. I'm chained to a tough marriage. I'm chained to an illness. I'm chained to a disease. I'm chained, Brandon. I'm chained. Maybe somebody here says, I'm chained. Guess what? When you find your freedom in Christ, your life doesn't have to be lived at the level of your circumstances. You can get off the chain and off the chain internally. How do you do that? Well, let's look at them. Because they were doing it. They were doing it, freedom in Christ. You know, we talked about some things are better. Let me tell you about some other things that are better. When you find your freedom in Christ, you find that forgiveness is just better than bitterness. When you find your freedom in Christ, you find that love is better than hate. That grace is better than just karma. Karma says you just get what's coming to you. Grace actually breaks the cycle of karma. Think about that. You find that grace is better than karma. You find that unconditional love is just better than tolerance. You know, we're not called to tolerate one another. You know, we say we want to be in a culture that's very tolerant, and that tolerance is better than intolerance. But you know what? You're not called to tolerance. You're called to love. That's the beauty of the church, is you don't have to agree with the person to your left or to your right, but God does command you to love them. And you can love somebody when they're running away from you, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus loved us while we were still sinners, while we were slapping him in the face and spitting on him. He loved us. We're called to do the very same thing to the people to your left and the people to your right, though not the people you're sitting with right now. Okay, here we go. They're great. To give is better than to receive. Healed is better than broken. Heaven is better than hell. Freedom in Christ is just better. It's just better. So let's walk through this story. What's the first thing you see is they sang. You know what that tells you? When you find your freedom in Christ, you discover that worship is better. Worship is better than whining. And let me really unpack that for you. Do you have a reason to whine today? Don't answer. Or go ahead. Answer. Let's just be honest. It's okay. Let's just be honest. Yes. Yes. Brandon, if you knew how we fought on the way to church today, if you knew how many times I've asked my kids to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and they don't, and then my little neighbor friend here at church, their kids are like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and I want to go, ah. Brandon, I come to Wellspring, and I see this couple holding hands in the hallway, and they turn, and I just want to go, ah. I got a reason to whine. I got a reason to whine. Here's the deal. I'm not denying that you may have a reason to whine, but in this room what we learn is that worship is better. Worship is better than giving in to the whine. Because what you do is you say, you know what, I've got an issue in my life, and maybe I'm the issue in my life. By the way, if everybody else is the problem, you're the problem. I don't know if you know that yet. Now you do. But wherever your whine is, replace it with worship. Wherever your whine is, replace it with worship. Now, this may be a new concept for some of us, and I was talking to Trey last night about this very issue of worship. And do you know your pastor? He shared with me, he said, Brandon, one of the big home run moments in this church. You ready for it? One of the home run moments in the church was this one guy. This one guy, when he first started coming, found life in Christ, and he was in the back like this during the music. You know?
Well, I'm not going to raise my hands.
That's how guys like that talk.
I don't know about all this hand-raising, happy Jesus church, clapping Yahweh. Right? You know, I just don't express myself that way. Right. I don't do that. So I'm in the back of the church and I'm like this. But then God gets a hold of his life. He made his way to the middle of the, right? Now I'm not dogging the people in the back. It's all good. But he made his way to the middle, and during the worship, he began to do this. Right? That's like if you grew up Baptist, this is like really radical for you. You know? Right? But he said the other day, this big tough dude was on the front row, and during worship, Trey bawled his eyes out as he saw this guy. Now, is this more spiritual than this? No, we're not saying that. We're not saying that. But he knew that this was a reflection of something that was happening in his heart. And what your pastor shared with me, and I love this, is what Trey shared with me was that when we open our mouths and we give ourselves to abandonment to God, regardless of what happened in our week, that when we open our mouths and we give ourselves to God like that, that we're preparing ourselves to give ourselves to God outside of these rooms. Is that great preaching or what? I got that preaching last night. When we have kids celebrate here at Wellspring, and these kids are up here, it's not show choir time. It's not just family video time. Do you know what we're doing here at Wellspring? When the kids are up here and they're learning to worship, we're teaching them to give God their heart. We're teaching them to be authentic. At my church, something really cool happened at the point of worship. I had some friends. I had one of our keystoners. We call them keystoners because we're kind of like you, and we're not offended by that name, right? So we call them keystoners, and one of our keystoners had brought a friend who was far from God and brought him to church because this is where you find life, right? And so he brought him to church, and my friend, during the worship time, man, it was cooking just like it was just a second ago. It was cooking in worship, and my friend had his friend. He didn't want to freak him out, so he's just kind of keeping it low, you know, keeping it, you know, just on the down low. He's just kind of chilling, right? He's just kind of keeping it there, just kind of, you know. And the friend who was far from God, in the middle of the worship, leaned over to the keystoner, the committed follower of Christ, leaned over, the guy far from the Lord. He turned and said, "Hey, man, if you want to raise your hand and sing real loud, you can go ahead and do that." Because he could see he was holding it in. Let me help you with something. You're not making the person next to you feel more comfortable by holding it in. You're being inauthentic. And I know that this is the heart of your church, that the more authentic you are in your following of Jesus Christ, the more other people will be drawn to it. The prisoners watched in amazement. Somebody needs to watch your worship. Not the fake worship, the honest worship. Because sometimes when you sing, you're singing from a victory, and they need to see that you've won some battles. Sometimes, yes, sometimes when you sing, you're singing for a victory. Do you know that? In the Bible, whenever the people of Israel would go to war, they would sing first. "Well, I'm just not tough like that." Are you kidding me? You think you're tougher than the Israelite army taking down the city of Jericho? I don't think so. You're not that stone cold. I mean, you're really not. Me, maybe. But not you. Not you. I've got a tattoo. Oh, you do too. Okay. We're both stone cold. But here's the thing. What you learn is when you read the Bible, not only did people sing because God had been good in the past, that's one reason to sing, but you also sing because I'm needing God to be good. I'm needing a victory. I'm believing a victory. I fell this week. I stumbled this week. God, I need to believe what I'm singing. I need to believe it, and I need what I'm singing right now. So you not only sing from a victory, you sing for a victory. And the world needs to see a church that's authentic like that, that says not only has God been good, but you know what, world? I need God to be good just like you do too. I'm no different than you. I'm a beggar just like you. I'm hungry just like you. The only difference is I found the bread. I found the bread. I found the bread. Let the world see your authenticity as you open your mouth. I believe the mouth is like they say the eye is the gateway to the soul, and I believe that. But I also believe that the mouth is the gateway to the soul. And as we were talking about worship,
you've been to the game and you're like this, well, at church I do this. But in the NBA finals, if you're courtside and your team just won, you're like, right? All of a sudden, inhibition's gone. Every time we gather here, this is a championship moment. And this is an unforgettable moment. And if you learn something today that changes your marriage, it's bigger than your team winning the championship. It's bigger than catching the double-digit bass. It's just better. It's just better. So they sang. They sang. Acts chapter 16, verse 26. Let's continue with the story. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. So they're singing. And they're singing from a victory. God had saved them from their sin. But I think in this moment, they were singing for a victory. And in the midst of their song, as the world looked on, earthquake, shaking. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Now the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open, and he assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. Remember, he was a retired Roman soldier, and he understood duty, and he understood if on my watch all of these prisoners escaped, I myself will carry out the sentence that is owed to me. So he's a violent man. He was a brutal man. But he was also a dutiful man. So he was about to kill himself out of duty. And then verse 28, Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." So what we see is in their suffering, they sang. And in their deliverance, they stayed. Somebody help me with that. This is a strange story. In their suffering, they sang. In their deliverance, they stayed. Why did they do that? Why did they stay uncomfortable? Why did they stay in the prison? Because there are other places in the Bible where God supernaturally delivered, like the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts. And the Apostle Peter, whenever he was delivered from the prison, he walked right out. So this isn't like a biblical command that if you ever find yourself in prison and God like sends you an earthquake, you gotta stay. Okay? This is not one of those deals. Something else is happening here that's actually a little more powerful and a little more practical for you, because I don't know if any of us are gonna find ourselves in a prison because we're religiously persecuted and an earthquake comes because you were singing and, hey dude, you know because you read this, stay. No, something bigger is happening here. What is happening here? Acts 16, verse 29, we see. The jailer called for the lights, and he ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Saved. And they replied, Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household, even at that hour of night. This is all happening in one evening. Even at that hour of night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. And then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. They didn't go through a three-month course to make sure that their theology was right. They were immediately baptized. Just a little thought. Just a thought. If you're laughing, you're a church, you have some background. They were immediately baptized. And the whole household was baptized. You know, I'm intrigued by this. I almost don't want to preach this point, but I think I'm going to. I'm intrigued by the complaint against churches that are reaching people that we are promoting some kind of easy believism. Oh, it's just too easy. It's just too easy. Oh, that's just easy believism. Come on, man. That's just easy believism. Oh, yeah, sure. Come and the music is going and come forward and be baptized. I got a word for you. If you get baptized, that wasn't easy believism. If you got baptized, that's not easy believism. Because last time I checked, when you get baptized, You go under the water, and the hair that you fixed, if you're from Texas, we're talking big hair. The hair that you fixed that day comes out, and the hairspray is all clumpy, and the mascara is runny. And I haven't even talked about the girls yet. I'm just talking about the guys right now. You know, I mean, look, you're coming out wet and in a vulnerable state, and you're coming out, and it's not this glorious, beautiful moment. Let's keep it real, right? Is that sacrilegious to you? That's really true, and I believe that that's part of the point, is that you go in all put together, and then you come out bathed and clean, and all the stuff we use to kind of put up our mask is gone. When you get baptized, you're saying, I don't care if any of you see me with my mascara gone. When you get baptized, what you're saying is, I don't care if you see that. I don't care. That's the filter against this, I didn't know what I was doing, easy believism thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to preach that point, but I preached that out of a bother. All right, here we go. Everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Verse 34, and he brought them into his house, and he set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced like you rejoice when people come to Christ, because they all believed in God. What do we see here? First of all, the jailer then began to understand, as Paul and Silas had understood, that freedom is better than prison. Freedom is better than prison. Now, you may say, but wait a second, they stayed in the prison. So if freedom was better than prison, they would have left. No. I believe they knew their miracle was coming, but they understood, I'm staying so that, not so that I can be saved. I'm already saved. I'm staying so that I can help him get saved. Now, I physically may be in a prison, Paul would be saying. I may physically be in a prison, but spiritually, I'm free. He is physically free, but spiritually, he's in a prison. I'm willing to stay in my physical prison so that he can find his spiritual prison. Are you willing to sacrifice so that others can be saved? Are you willing to get more uncomfortable so that others can be comforted? Are you willing to be bound so that others may be released? Because they knew that the miracle of the earthquake was not for them. The earthquake miracle was for him. And I'm willing to stay here so that you can discover that freedom is better than prison. Just a thought. Your freedom should never imprison others. They were willing to subdue their prison so that others could find freedom. Never, whatever freedom you find in Christ, never flaunt it in a way that would cause someone else to stumble. Be willing to defer at times. Be willing to close your mouth at times. Be willing to be sensitive so that someone else could find the freedom that you have found. That is love as the driving factor in your relationships with others. You don't flaunt your freedom. You help others find the freedom that you found. And you can apply that however you want. But I'll also say that what we learn here is grace is better than works-based religion. I think they knew that. What must I do to be saved, he asked. What must I do to be saved? And you know what their answer was? Believe. No, you don't understand, Paul and Silas. I'm a Roman soldier. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Believe. I'll go on a pilgrimage. I'll go to Jerusalem. I'll crawl up the temple steps on my knees. I'll pray 5 times a day. I'll do whatever it takes. Just tell me what to do. Christians love black and white rules. It's easier. Just tell me what to do, Brandon. Believe. We love black and white rules because it takes God out of the picture. Just tell me what to do. Tell me the 5 things I need to do. Guess what? If I told you the 5 things you need to do to become a Christian, you don't need God. You're God. You know what they said? Believe and get to know this guy. Get to know the Jesus that I serve. Let his Holy Spirit indwell your life from the tip of your toes to the top of your head. Ask the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to fill you and conquer you and dwell in you and change you in a way that you can't change yourself. That's freedom. That's freedom. Grace is better than workspace religion. Workspace religion, if you're new to the whole church thing and you thought that being a Christian was, okay, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, I don't do that. Here's what that is, and Jesus absolutely refuses that. When you say, well, I'm a good person, so that makes me, I'm trying to be a good Christian, I'm a good person. What you're saying is, God, have you noticed me yet? Look how good I've been. You know, Brian, I just believe one day when I go to heaven that God's going to look at what I've done and he'll know I was overall a good person. What you're saying is that you're in a performance mentality, that you're kind of like performing for God, like rehearsing for God and trying to get his approval through your good works. I have good news for you. To that life, God says, no, just believe. And then all that other activity will follow your belief. Just believe. Just believe. Because if you are saying, God, have you seen? Have you seen? There's two results from performance-based religion, works-based religion. Either utter pride, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. You haven't done that. Look at what I have done. Or extreme exhaustion. I can't do it. I'm no Mother Teresa. I'm no Billy Graham. I'm no Gandhi. Extreme exhaustion and utter insecurity. Have I done enough? Because, okay, I did a few things back. Have I done enough? At what point have you done enough? What God says to all of that is, you know what? You don't have to live with insecurity. You don't have to be exhausted. And let's kick pride to the curb. Guess what? We're all sinners. And if you'll believe, you'll all be made saints. You are made a saint. You don't become a saint. God wants to create a new life in you. And that's what happened with the jailer. In one blink of an eye, in one night, he and his whole family found life in Christ, were baptized, and today could be your day to find your life in Christ. But check this out. Not only that, what we learn is freedom for all is better than freedom for me. Freedom for all is better than freedom for me. There they sat in the prison cell, and they said, I could have my freedom right now, but you know what's better? Is if we all had freedom right now. I could have my freedom right now, but what would be better is if we all had our freedom. And the church that thinks like that is the church that does not fight over the color of the upholstery on the chairs. Because they're like, you know, I prefer blue. I wish I was on the color committee. You know, if I was, if I had a voice in these things, I would change. You know, a church doesn't think like that when they're on mission. When they're like this, they say, you know what? Here's what I know. I know that my preference is not king. All I know is I found freedom, and freedom for all of us, like our whole city, is better than just me having my preferences. It's better. It's just better. It's better. And that's why we do some of the things we do. Some of the reasons why we do some of the things, I didn't want to get out on a Saturday. It's just not the way I roll, man. I sleep in on Saturday. I don't want to go Love Week. You know, Love Week, whatever. But then you learn, wait a second, I need to push myself past my comfort zone. Because if I never challenge myself, I'll never grow. Do you always run to the path of least resistance? Like, this is my preference. This is what I like. This is who I am. Have you already decided? You're 35 years old and you know what you like. You know who you are. You don't. One of the greatest gifts in our church, that Trey and Danielle know this, one of the greatest gifts in our church is that early on we had some empty nesters join us who were very young at heart. One of the things that I learned from some of these empty nesters, they're now starting to get into their 70s. One of the things that I learned from these empty nesters that are very young at heart is that one of the key ingredients is why they've been able to hang with Keystone so long as we do crazy stuff, way against their tradition. They grew up like Baptist. So like the first thing we did at Keystone was like have a dance, which really was, you know what? They were there dancing. They were doing like the jitterbug, whatever that is. I don't know what that is, but the reason that they were able to hang with us so long is because they said, really, I don't need a choir for my city to find life in Christ. I don't need that. And they might have preferred a choir, truthfully, but they've never told me. They've never told me. You know why? Because they're not looking at what they've lost. They're looking at what they're gaining. They're looking at what they're gaining. Every time, if you give to this church, if you give here, if you tithe 10% of your income at this church, if you give, like TJ talked about a second ago, if you give here, every time somebody's baptized, that's because of your sacrifice. You know that? Every time somebody's fed in the community, or you do a charitable act in Haiti, every single time, you were a part of that. Every time you invite somebody, you're a part of a momentum that's bringing life, others to life in Christ. So here's what I want to challenge you with. When others see you after being here, would they say of you, I don't know what's happened, but it's better. Hey, son-in-law, I don't know about this new church you're going to. I don't know, and it's lights and smoke and haze, and I don't know about all that. But what I do know is you're better. Hey, employee, you know, you've been inviting me to this church, and I'm not a church guy, but I will say this. I really like the work you've been doing. It's been better. Hey, husband, I see, you know, you've been asking us to go to church more, and something's happened. This community group and these men that you've been hanging out with, and you've been praying and crying all the time, and what's going on? But I don't know about all that, but I do know this. It's better. Hey, Dad, I've literally had this comment at our church. Hey, Dad, something's happened. I feel like I have a new dad. Little boy said this to his dad. I feel like I have a new daddy. You know what he's saying? I like this daddy better. You know what happens? When you give yourself to that kind of freedom, you're not defined by your circumstances. You're defined by your freedom in Christ. Let's be that together, can we? Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would walk out better than when we came in every single time. Because following Jesus is better. Following Jesus is better. So God, may our life in Christ show others that it's better. How we handle stress. Because of Jesus, we'll handle it better. How I walk through pain, I'll walk better. When I think about how far I've come, I'm not perfect, but I know I'm better than had I never found Jesus. God, may the lives that we live be better. And whenever we have an opportunity to explain why it's better, may the freedom go forward. May the freedom go forward. Never may we hold on to that freedom as if it's just for us. May that freedom we found in Christ go forward. May we give a good word about Jesus, and may we give a good word about his church, because this is where things get better. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.